sit on jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on a slide. I don't never
so
slide.
Good. And so I would even when I wasn't like even when I wasn't going in that direction, I would be like, I, you know, people be like, what do you do for lunch? Oh, I'm going like 45 minutes out of my way to go to Buster's. And they're like, what's Buster's? I'm like, dude, like, come on. And they were always like, oh, make sure to go to Voodoo Donuts after for dinner. I'm like, that's not good. Get out. That's trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come to Buster's. Yeah. I don't need an eclair shaped like a, you know what, like, no. that's not interesting. But Buster's brisket. Look at that. Oh, I thought your shirt said always beefing. And I would have said, okay, we're talking brisket. That's a perfect shirt.
Oh no. It's not like well known out here, but I mean, I have never heard somebody say, let's go to Buster's, but now I'm going to get everybody to start going. Cause it is good. I've been there. It's been a while though.
It's been a couple years. So I'm assuming it's still like, I just looked it up. It still looks the exact same. So it's always these hole in the wall places that have the best food. Jay, your guy, Richard Jefferson. I finished recording or doing Gridiron, Player's Choice Gridiron last night. We finished at like, I don't know, 12:30. And I jumped on TikTok real quick just to see like what was going on. And like Richard Jefferson sitting in his hotel room, right? And he's like, oh, let me get my man Sports Fluent on here. And I'm like, ugh. And I see like a invitation. So I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna say no. So I'm like, all right, accept. I'm like, it's 12:30. I'm trying to go to bed. And so we start talking about Tucson because he went to U of A. I lived in Tucson for a while. And there's this place in Tucson that I used to drive by. And I always tell the story, like when you would drive by, you'd be like, I'm never eating there. It looks like a stable. They actually have, you know, those posts that back in the old West, they used to tie your horses up to. Okay. And so all I see is these grills, like 10, 20, 30 feet of grills, these mystique grills. And like, you could smell it. I'm like, but it smells so good. So I'm like, you know what? One day I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go here. And so they actually have, because it's right at the foothills, guys like ranchers would come down with their horses and tie up their horses and go eat. There's no menu. They would say, today we have barbecue chicken, ribs, peas. Oh, today we have salad and, you know, a steak. Like, you just, whatever. That's it. That's all they'd have. And, dude, it was the best food I ever had in my life.
Did RJ know it?
Oh, yeah, he knew it. Man, you're going to make me look it up because I don't remember what it was.
I'm from there, so.
Oh, you're from Tucson?
Well, not Tucson, but I'm from
Arizona.
Yeah, I was born in Glendale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I moved up to Scottsdale after, but no, we were talking about Cactus Moon, which was like this bar that we all used to go to. But it was, it was kind of, we tried to talk about basketball too, but we ended up talking about that stuff. But but anyways, just so you guys know, we're live, by the way, and people are listening to this ridiculous story.
Yay.
So while I look up the name, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, let's do it. Today is a big day, game one. So wow, we made it. It's kind of crazy. I was thinking earlier today just how fast and slow the season's gone. Like, there are parts of it that felt like an eternity, and then there are parts that honestly, since playoffs kind of started, it's gone by in the blink of an eye. But I kind of want to have each of you. So Jay, I'll have you take the Warriors, and Fluent, I'll have you take the Celtics. And okay, I want you to kind of give us your insights into each team. And then at the end, I want you to say your personal predictions tonight. I know they're at home. But yeah, just their strong suits as well as their weaknesses. What you want to see them clean up and what you think that will be the best going forward for each team. So if you want to take it away for the Dubs, Jay, and just, let us know your thoughts on them.
Well, I mentioned this in the past that the Golden State Warriors, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili, those three are the only three that have been together longer than this current trio right here of Clay, Dre, and Steph. They've been together longer than all of the other guys. So experience is not a question. All right, these guys have that down. They know exactly what to expect. There's nothing that's going to surprise them. There's nothing that's going to throw them off. They faced all different types of defenses. They faced all different types of great players. I mean, it doesn't get much better than LeBron James having to face him. So they've seen any and everything that there is possibly to see in the NBA Finals and in the playoffs. So with that being said, I think that the difference in this series is going to be the other guys. Normally, it's the stars, but the stars show up in the bigger moments. So when I think about Steph, when I think about Clay, when I think about Dre, these guys, they show up in big moments. But guys like Andrew Wiggins, who's never been here before, but I think that they keep him insulated so much so that that gives him more confidence to let him know that we're going to keep you right here with us and we're going to let you do what you do. Andrew Wiggins is one of those guys who he gives you what you forgot you had. Pleasantly surprised, by the way. So add that to the fact that Jordan Poole, I think Gary Payton II is going to play in the series. I think Kuminga is going to be big in the series. I also think that Steve Kerr, he could very well out-coach Udoka in this series. Look for a lot of zone. And the reason why I want you to look for a lot of zone, Tone, is simply because Boston could shoot themselves out of games. As good as they are at shooting the long ball, they could very well shoot themselves out of games. I thought that Steve Kerr did a good job at that when he was going up against Dallas with the matchup zone and making them shoot themselves out of games. So look for that as well. But when I think about the Boston Celtics and I think about how important Grant Williams is on Grant Williams and their second guys, I think that the Golden State Warriors are better at Grant Williams and Pritchard. I think they're better at that than the Celtics are. Now, defensively, I think this is going to be a tall task for the Warriors. No question about that. I think this is because offensively, Boston's got some really good players. Jason Tatum is one of my favorite players, and he's dynamic, no question about that. Jaylen Brown could go for 30 and a half, so we know who he is. But when I think about this team defensively, Boston has their hands full as well. So I have Golden State in six, and I would be very surprised if Golden State won this series in less games than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Warriors also really need to watch their turnovers because that tends to be a huge issue for them. So if they can keep those turnovers down and keep doing what they're doing, they're on a good path. I do want to ask you, Jay. Travis Lindsay threw a question in the chat for us. Is JT top 10 in the league now?
And is Jason Tatum a top 10 player in the game right now? He was right outside the top 10 before – the playoffs started during the season. I had him around that 12 to 15 range. And the way he's playing, I mean, I think he's leapfrogged some guys. And I think that we can make the case. I think he's in front of guys like James Harden. I think he's in front of guys like Damian Lillard. As of right now, I do think that he's in front of guys like that right now. No question.
Currently. Okay. And Fluent, you want to break down the
Celtics? Well, before I break down the Celtics, give my two cents here on the JT thing, since I'm going to talk about him. One, well, right now, he's top five right now because there's only two teams left, and he's one of the five best players that's going to be on the court.
Everybody else is eliminated.
So.
Right, everybody else is out. There's a difference between playing the best with like a top five and being a top five player. I'm not ready to say he's a top five.
No, I'm saying right now in this series because there are only two teams playing, so playing top five. If we're talking NBA, I'm with Jay. I think he was just outside of the top 10, but I think when we start next season, because I think we're going to see a good series, win or lose. I think Tatum's going to have a good series. And therefore, when we start next season, he's right. Lillard's probably just outside. Harden is definitely outside of the top 10. Mm-hmm. So when you look at those guys, right, it's Jokic, Embiid. If KD's healthy, KD will be back in there. Luka. Like, there's guys, Trey. But, I mean, like, after that first kind of five, like, these are the guys that are in the argument for the top five. He's absolutely in the conversation for the next five. So I think, 100%. There was another super chat, just so you know, and I want to get to it after we do our finals kind of preview. Just, I don't know if you saw it, Haley, the one asking about it's Wade and Curry. So I don't know if you saw it. Yeah. So just make sure we keep that.
Yeah, we'll bookmark that.
Yeah, we'll so bookmark that one for assist. I like the way he spells it. Assist U H. Okay, so to the Celtics. Well, the Celtics are the best defensive team in the league. That's what they've shown us this season. The problem is they're playing a team that will motion and screen and backdoor cut you for 24 seconds nonstop. Like, what Kerr has been and staff has been able to do, because really what he did was he took the triangle offense, he took Mike D'Antoni's 7-second offense, he took, and just so we know, the triangle offense is a read and react motion offense where you're in constant movement, right? I said this about the Lakers a lot this year. You know, Carmelo would get the ball, everyone would stand there and watch him. LeBron would get the ball, everybody would stand there and watch him. That's not this offense. So this offense is in and Greg Popovich motion tendencies in this offense too. So he has this great mix of all these guys, motion, backdoor cuts, screens, right? Like I said it, Steph Curry came off, I think it was like 2 times more screens than any other player in the NBA this year. That's because of this offense that they run. So as great as Boston is defensively, they've never had to play that, a team that moved. This is what makes the Warriors so great, is that's going to be their biggest challenge. But I think they're up to the challenge. The thing for, so now defensively, we know that Curry's going to get his. We know that Clay will probably, you know, get some of his. So now what Warrior are they going to say, listen, we're going to let, if their attention is going to be on Curry and Clay, what Warrior are we going to let us kill us? And can he, right? Is it going to be, we're going to leave Poole, which makes me nervous if they're going to let Poole do it. Is it going to be Porter? Is it going to be Wiggins? I don't think it's going to be Wiggins, because I think Wiggins is going to be exhausted, because if he's not guarding Tatum, he's going to be guarding Brown. And that is an exhausting matchup. So I don't think Wiggins is going to be the guy we're going to, you know, go to offensively, because I think the ask will be, we need you defensively. So now it's Porter or Poole. So can the Warriors get one of those two guys to go off and help, because they're going to need that third scorer. So from the Celtics side, they drive me nuts. And they drive me nuts off that. So that's defense. Defense, I think they're good. They're solid. Offensively, they scare the crap out of me, because one day I see them and I'm like, man, no one can compete with this team. These guys can score inside, outside, mid-range. Like, they can score from everywhere. And then what they do is they're like, let's just shoot a bunch of threes. Yeah, let's just shoot. Let's just pull up some threes. And they let teams back into the game. So if they are... And it's tough because they're a young team. So for the Celtics to get to the Warriors defensively or offensively, they're going to need to be very disciplined. They're going to need to do what works for them. Get into the paint, you know, take your opportunities from the outside when you have to, of course, obviously. But that's the only way you're going to beat this Warriors team. Because, look, people underestimate the Warriors defense. They're actually pretty good. They're pretty good. And because we fall in love with their offense, we don't realize how good they are defensively. So that's why I have the Celtics winning. Are we making the picks? The Celtics winning this in 7. I have the Celtics in 7. And because Celtics in 7. And here's why. I know this is, I thought this was, you know, I always love my Mrs. Fluent stat of the day. So Mrs. Fluent stat of the day was, now someone caught a hold of hers. She posted this 3 days ago. And then now the media has started to, so everybody knows this. The team that has eliminated Jimmy Butler in the last 3 seasons has won the NBA championship.
Of course she knows
Think
that.
About
of course
it.
She knows. Why am I not surprised that she knows that? Of course she knows that. Absolutely she knows that. Why am I not surprised that
the
she knows
Raptors
that?
The Raptors eliminated, win. Unbelievable. The Lakers beat them, and the Bucks eliminated them. Look at that. Unbelievable. Man, 1, 2, 3.
Of course she knows that.
Of course she knows that. Exactly.
Why am I not surprised? But now.
ESPN follows her for information. Yeah, just for real. So you know.
Of course she knows that. So, Tone, the thing that I'm thinking about with Andrew Wiggins, number one, I mean, it doesn't get much tougher than dealing with Luka. Not only does it not get much tougher than dealing with Luka, we're dealing with a guy who's ball dominant. Now, when you got guys moving a lot of action on the perimeter, you could combat that with switching. Now, when you combat that with switching, that conserves energy, because now I don't have to work nearly as hard as I have to do with a guy who has the basketball that's constantly having me in pick and roll and pick and switch. And the way the Warriors play defense, what they did with Luka, with chasing Luka off the screen and keeping Wiggins on him, I think that's going to be the same idea with Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum shoots a lot of threes, which lets Wiggins off the hook.
He doesn't draft. That's my point. That's why he can't fall in love with the three this series. He's got to take it to Wiggins.
He does have to take it to Wiggins, no doubt. Now, he falls in love with the long ball. That can actually help Wiggins. And why can it help Wiggins? Because I can conserve some of that energy on defense and let you shoot the long ball. And I can get involved more offensively. Now, when I think about what's going on with the Warriors and I think about how deep they are, how far Poole goes, right? How far Otto Porter Jr. goes, how far Gary Payton goes, because I think he's going to play in this series. You're talking about a Boston Celtics team that completely turned it around. They were under 500 at the halfway point of the season. And they go from being under 500 to almost the best team in the game. So defensively, I think that they're going to have their hands full. But offensively, I think this Warriors team is just going to be too much, Tone. I think they're going to be too much.
Yeah, to your point, Fluent, I mean, you were saying how the Celtics offense, they can come in one day and be on point. The next day, they can be just falling off. And I mean, the Warriors can be inconsistent too, but I do think that experience is going to play into that. And thankfully, the Warriors have so many shooters that when one, like Clay, isn't having his best game or game six, Clay isn't there, the rest of them can pull up and hit shots or just figure out on a dime, okay, we need to just start driving. We just need to start driving. They're so smart that way. But
I'm going to get heat for this. I'm going to get heat for this, but you know, Curry has, I don't want to say disappeared, but he's had moments of, you know, going cold and not playing his best in the finals. Like, it can, like, it's not like he's this mythical creature that just never fails. Like, both teams, this is why I think it goes seven, why I think it's going to be fun. Both teams will allow the other an opportunity to win games, just who's going to make shots. I know that's very easy and cliche to say, but that's what it's going to come down to.
And to add to that point, to combat that point of Mrs. Fluent, that every team that's dropped Jimmy Butler, well, I posed the question, what team has won the NBA championship with kids at the helm? We saw that with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. What happened? They got smoked. We saw that with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. They got smoked. So the logic of these guys being kids and having an opportunity to compete, I think that they will, but I just think that these vets, I trust the Golden State Warriors vets more than I trust the youth of the Boston Celtics right now. And you said it yourself, Tone, and I think it's a fact. I still think they're a year away. Next year, I have them as the favorites. Next year, Boston Celtics, considering if they bring this unit back next year, I think they win the NBA championship.
I've said this all season. I think Boston next year is Boston's. That's when I thought Tatum and Boston, that's when they would come to the forefront for me. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If I'm the Celtics, if I'm management, if I'm the coaching staff, why not us? Why not now? Let's take. This is gravy. Yeah, this is gravy for us, right?
Well, the reason why
to be here.
The reason why not you? Because you're dealing with the Golden State Warriors. That's why not you. You're dealing with Steph, Clay, and Dre, guys who've been to the NBA Finals six times in the last 8 years. That's why not you. You're not prepared for these guys.
Steph, Clay, and Dre have been beaten, and now they're older. Yeah. So you got to hang your hat on that. You can't just say it's the Warriors. Let's give up.
No, we're not going to do that. No, we're not doing that. Uh-uh. We're not going to roll over. No.
And can we give a shout out? Like in football, we talk about coaching trees all the time. Like, oh, these guys are, you know, under the Belichick coach tree, the Parcells coaching tree. Greg Popovich has two of his, for lack of a better term, disciples coaching in the NBA Finals. Like,
which is who? Who are those guys, Tom?
Steve Kerr.
Uh-huh.
And the guy whose name I can't pronounce is the coach of the Celtics.
Udoka.
I can't pronounce my last name. I can't pronounce my own last name.
Don't stop there, Tom. Who won the NBA championship last year?
Yes. Okay. Go. You go ahead. Mm-hmm. Just tell us. But I was saying about this year because we're not celebrating it enough. Mm-hmm. Always wants me to say people's last names because you know I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't even say Stevenson. Last night we were talking about Tua Tung.
Ironic for a guy who's Greek. And his name is this long, right? This dude, he can't pronounce other people's last names. His name is the alphabet, basically.
My last name's only nine letters. It's easy. My wife's last name is 14 letters. I still can't say it right. And I've known her since kindergarten. I still can't say it right. So, you know. So that's why I just say, don't take it personally. I can't say anyone's name right. So it's not, it's, you know, that's why I say the coach of the Celtics. Celtics, I can say, right? The coach of the Bucks. Yeah. What, Budenheiser?
What's, how about Coach Bud? Coach Bud. Yeah,
that's why I don't get mad when people say my. I've told you this story before. I used to do like I'd be on a tour of speaking engagements with Google and Nissan, if you want to know all the details. And we go across the southern United States. And there was a regional VP of Nissan Infiniti USA that would always introduce me as next up, Tony K. And I was like, why can't you say my last name? And I would break it down for him. I say, look, it's, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want everybody to know my, but it'd be like, I'd be like, look, it's three letter syllables. It's this, the. And he goes, oh, and then he would say it back to me perfectly. I'd be great. Yeah. All right. Next up, Tony K. I'm like, dude,
there you go. Sorry.
I just can't taught you it. How to no, say it.
Can't get it.
So I can't get mad. It's fine. It's good. It's
now
fine.
I will tell you this, Haley. I'm really interested with this Boston Celtic team in terms of their defense. And Tony, you're a football guy, so you can appreciate this logic. When you tell me that you are the best defense in the game, prove it. When I saw that Buccaneers defense in 2003 go up against that Raider offense, prove it. When we saw the Legion of Boom shut the door on the Denver Broncos, prove it, right? So if you are the best defense in the game, shut the door on these guys and show us that you are that, as opposed to I'm watching Steph Curry, I'm watching Klay Thompson, I'm watching Dre, I'm watching these guys offensively light you guys up. So maybe you aren't as good defensively as you say you are. So if you are that good, show it to us, because this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest test. I didn't think that, and I said this to you before the series was over, that the Celtics-Milwaukee winner wins the Eastern Conference Championship, because I didn't think that they would see anybody as tough as Giannis. So in terms of a defense, offensively, this team right here is going to test their defense like no other.
I've been saying recently, right, because the old saying used to be defense wins championships. And I started saying, well, situational defense wins championships. You have to be good and then great at times. Now we're going to see, because that's the Warriors. The Warriors play good defense, and at times it's actually really good. The Celtics are supposed to have a great defense. So now we're going to see. If the Celtics don't win, then I'm no longer will say defense wins championships in basketball.
Tone, I don't know if I can go that far, man.
It wasn't as good as everyone thought.
Right. Well, there's a difference between the team, because how can you discount the 2004 Detroit Pistons? They held the Lakers 4 to 5 games. Your Lakers down to 90 exception. Points. No, that's it's not the exception, Tone. No, it's not. And the reason why it's not the exception is because the Lakers did the same thing to the Philadelphia 76ers. I can go on and on. That Cleveland Cavaliers team, who was a top 10 defense, they did the same thing to the Warriors. So
what's the number one defense?
Right.
How many times has the number one ranked defense won an NBA championship in the last 20 years?
Now, and I'm glad you mentioned that.
I knew you'd probably have the stat right there. Seven times. You're the team.
I don't have the stat, but what I do know is historically the best defenses win the NBA championship. There's an old saying, Tone. Offenses sell game tickets. Defenses sell parade tickets. That's just the way that goes. There is no in between with that. So
were the Bucks the number one defense last year?
No, they weren't. But they were definitely a top 10 defense.
I'm not. But that's my.
Now you're talking about a number
one defense. So not the Bucks. Were the Lakers the number one defense?
No, they weren't.
Were the Raptors the number one defense the year before that? No. How far back to? I don't even know who won after that. Were the Warriors number one defense?
They were a top five defense. But with that being said,
you have to be good.
You do. But even if you're the number one defense and you don't deliver, that doesn't completely dismiss that defenses don't win NBA championships.
I'm putting it all on NFL defense for the entirety of the entire.
Can't completely dismiss that. Absolutely not.
I absolutely can, and I will.
No.
Okay, I have a question.
I'm getting all shaky over here.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So there's this argument going around about Al Horford over Draymond Green defensively, maybe as a player overall, and I think we all know that that's not true. At least I personally don't believe that, at least the impact Draymond has on his specific team. But Al has kind of been overlooked at points, but he's never, I don't know if he's ever played as well as he's playing right now or fit in as well as he is right now. So what do you think about that argument, and how do you think Al is going to play into the defensive side of the Celtics this series?
If the question is Al Horford a better defender than Draymond Green, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Let's put that out right there. Look,
shut that down. Thank
Al Horford.
You.
Yeah. Al Horford's a nice player. Al Horford is a nice player for his entire career. He's a nice player. He can give you offense. He can give you defense and give you some grittiness. He can give you some rebounds and get you some blocks. He can score you some points. He literally, he's done everything. He's nice. He's nice. He's not that. He's not that. Like, even now, he might do it. He might do it for a game, right? People get, oh, he dunked on Giannis and it was one game, bro. Like, that's great. This is a game of his life, right? That's not. Look, he's nice. I don't want to. Because if I say anything negative, people will be like, oh, you hate. No, I don't hate Al Horford's nice. He's not Draymond Green.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Tone. I'll take the heat for you. Going into game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals, Giannis was 40-16. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to say that one more time for the people in the cheap seats. Going into game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals, Giannis was 40-16. Al Horford was his primary responsibility. I mean, Giannis was Al Horford's primary responsibility, and he was 40-16. So, with that being said, I think about what James was doing against Draymond. I think about what Kevin Durant and those guys were doing. I don't remember any of those guys going almost 40-16 going into game 7 of any series. So, Al Horford's made the All-League defensive team one time. Don't get me wrong. Draymond is a perennial All-League defender. I think that we're having this conversation because these guys are here right now. If the Boston Celtics weren't in the NBA Finals, we would not be having a conversation that Al Horford is a better defender than Draymond Green.
We're having these conversations, one, because they're here right now, two, because they say dumb stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure I think he asked you the same question that he asked me last night. So Draymond Green said, well, no one's beat the Warriors when they're healthy. Did Rich ask you that question last night?
He did. Yes, he did.
He asked me that same question. And I'm like, okay, that might be true, but like, name me one finals series where everybody was healthy. Like, I don't think in the 75-year history there's been an NBA final where everybody was fully, because by the time you get to the NBA finals, everybody's hurt. Even if you're playing, you're hurt.
Played over 100 games. Yeah.
How did you answer that one?
Well, my logic is simple. You guys had 3 games to win 1.
Yeah,
it's that simple. And 2 of those 3 games were on.
He was suspended. Yeah. I was like, wasn't he there game 6 and game 7?
You guys had 3 games to win 1. 2 of those 3 games were on your home floor. And I can appreciate the logic of momentum. I can absolutely appreciate that. But for you guys to go home and not do what you were supposed to do, and then to have game 7 on your home floor, and also not do what you were supposed to do, and I'm not listening to the logic of, you know, Bogut was hurt. Steph Curry was hurt, and so that means that James was just, he was a spring chicken, and he was solid. And Kyrie Irving, who we know has made a glass, at some point he's going to break down. He was hurt also. So that logic doesn't work for me. You guys had 3 opportunities to win 1 game, and you didn't.
All right. What about so I'm going to give you the other question then, because he asked me 2 questions. Marcus Smart saying, now, this was back on the J.J. Redick podcast a few months back, but had the Celtics beat the Cavs in 2018, they would have beat the Warriors in the finals.
And we're talking about a healthy Warriors team, by the way.
16? No, 18. 16? 16.
I think it was 18. It wasn't 18, 16.
18. Yeah, yeah, 18. 18. Yeah, 18.
And just so you know, we're talking about a healthy word. That means KD is healthy. That means Steph is healthy. That means Clay. That means that all things are considered. Now, first and foremost, I look at the scoring from the Boston Celtics. Marcus Smart, okay? We're talking about Marcus Smart. We're talking about a rook Jason Tatum. We're talking about a rook Jaylen Brown. We're talking about scary Terry Rozier, who we saw in game 7, how bad he was. And we're talking about Morris. So with that Warriors team, where are the points coming from? That's the first question that I want to ask, because you're not going to slow that team down. Absolutely not. I mean, I watched James put 51 on them in game 1, and they still lost. So where's the points going to come from you guys with the Celtics? Because I know they ain't coming from Marcus Smart in 18. I know they're not coming from Morris in 18. I damn sure they're not coming from Jason Tatum, a rook Jason Tatum, and a rook Jaylen Brown. So where are the points coming from? That's the first question. Number 2, how are you guys going to stop these guys? How are you guys going to slow these guys down? That's the million-dollar question more than anything, because I'm not buying the notion that, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Tom, I think James went 45-12 in that game 7.
Did he put up like 50 at one point? Like, and then game 1, he put up 50 and they still lost.
I'm talking about I'm talking about Game Seven against Boston, James, and that's just one guy. So if you can imagine, you're basically getting jumped, and the punches are coming from everywhere. So where are you gonna? How are you gonna stop this bleeding?
Stop.
So I don't think that they. I don't think that the Warriors beat the Celtics. I think they smoked them dudes.
I would say that the Celtics are very lucky that they didn't beat the Cavs and make that NBA final. Because they would have been embarrassed to the point where they might have reconsidered playing basketball as a career. Like, you thought 07 was bad for the Cavs when what the Spurs did to them? Nah, man, that would have been nothing. I think the Warriors would have, if it's possible, they would have swept them in three. They would have called the mercy rule and said, no, we're not playing another one.
Well, here's the thing, Tony. You talk about sweeping guys. You know how I feel about getting swept in the playoffs. When you get swept in the playoffs, you're not close. And I think that with them playing against that Warriors team, and with I think the Warriors annihilate them, and it would have them reconsidering how they're constructed.
Danny Ainge will be starting getting on the phones and start making some
we're not
trades.
Close. We're not close. So
he's very lucky they didn't. Okay. Anything else on the finals, Haley? Sorry, I keep seeing Sis. I just like that name. Sis.
Yeah. Why don't we go into that? Do you want to go ahead and read that?
All right.
Here's
the question. Thank you for the super chat. If you definitely want your question asked, Super Chat is the way to go. All right. Yeah. Can I get your best argument on why Curry is above Wade all time? I think Wade is the most underrated player ever.
Mm.
Start with you.
So the reason why Steph Curry is better than Dwayne Wade. Well, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Well, when I think about what Steph Curry has done in the regular season and in the playoffs, being a two-time league MVP, one of them being unanimous, being on the team. Now, I've said this in the past. I think that Kevin Durant getting on his crew, I think that that stunted his growth. I think he was on his way to being something completely different before KD showed up. And when KD showed up, he had to take a back seat to him. Now, I think that Dwayne Wade was better on the defensive side of the basketball. But I think Curry's impact on the game offensively, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs and how much better he was overall, I think that him being better than Dwayne, I don't think it's by leaps and bounds, but I do think that he was better than Wade. And add that to the fact that health-wise, when he got healthy, he stayed healthy a little bit longer than Dwayne did too as well.
So I'm going to start with the end of the question and then work my way back. So first of all, he's the most underrated player ever. No. And here's why I'm going to say no, because if you're regarded, which he is, as a top five shooting guard all time, mm-hmm. when there's guys like Jordan and Kobe in mm-hmm. that top five, and some people have him at three, four, like I've never seen him outside of the top five, right? So you'll see Kobe, you'll see Jordan, obviously, you'll see, you know, Harden, Drexler, like you'll see a myriad of, Wade is always in that top five mix. So I don't think a top five player at your position all time can be underrated. So I don't think he can fit into the most. He might be underappreciated, but I don't think he's going to be underrated, the most underrated player of all time when you have him as a top five of his position all time. So let's stop that. Why is Curry better than Wade? Well, again, we're talking career or are we talking skill and talent? Well, let's talk career. Well, career, Curry has done more in more. Like, he's just played longer. He's, you know, won more. He's an MVP. He's a three-time champion. Been to the finals, what, six now, right? Been to the finals six times. He's probably going to have four. He's either going to be 3-3 or 4-2 in the NBA finals. So he's got a winning record in the finals. So let's start defensively. Listen, Curry isn't known for great defense, although he did lead the league in steals. So Wade is a better defender. Okay, we'll give him that. See, they're both about the same size. So Wade's a better defender. The gap in the offense, because we're talking about the greatest shooter of all time. There's nothing that we say about Wade as the greatest. He's the greatest X of all time. Nothing. And that's not knocking Wade. So I think the gap between the offensive, Curry's better offensively, that gap is bigger than the gap between Wade and Curry's defense. So again, I don't think it's like this overall. I think, you know, but I think Curry is, I don't know how I can make a case if I was asked to make a case that Wade is better than Curry. I don't know that I can make that case.
That's where I was going to go.
Right? Because when you look at just holistically.
That's, That was the logic that I was going with. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about is Curry being the greatest shooter of all time. You know, people bring that up a lot, and I don't really think that that matters a lot. And the reason why I don't think that matters, Tone, is because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the number one scorer in NBA history. We don't talk about Jabbar being the number one scorer in NBA history, not nearly as much as we should. No, we don't.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm. I was going to say we do, but yeah, not as much as we should. Okay.
We don't talk about him nearly as much as we should, right? So the question is what else does Curry do to impact the game, to make things better for everybody else, right? So Wade, his mid-range was good. It wasn't Curry's. Wade's ball handling was good. It wasn't Curry. Wade, in the clutch, he was awesome. Curry was also good in the clutch. Now, Dwayne Wade does have finals MVP, and he put a team on his back. Steph Curry did the same thing in 15-16. Circumstances excluded, Curry did the same thing with that 15-16 team. Add that to the fact that he was an MVP that season. And in addition to him playing the way he played throughout that entire playoffs and then leading the league in scoring more than once and twice and taking teams and putting teams on his back and bringing them to the NBA Finals and winning it, I think that and I don't push Steph Curry way ahead of Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade is a top 25 player all time. But I do think the Curry is better than him.
Well, it's actually funny because he's a assist is in the chat saying, well, he's a top five shooting guard all time. Yes, we hear that, but he's not in kind of that top 20 players of all time. And I think ESPN had him ranked at 30. I think that's low. I think he's higher than that. So yeah, I have him top 25. So again, that's why I said maybe it's just us that we don't underrate him, but maybe some other people do.
Well, ask the question, Tone, of when you talk about underrated. So when I hear the term, he's the most underrated player of all time. I think the most underrated player of all time is Scottie Pippen. And that's simply because of who he played with. But when you talk about underrated, where do you rate Dwayne Wade? We got a guy who's top three in the 75-year history of this league. It's only two guys in his position that were better than him. So that's first of all. Number two, I think he's a top 25 player. So where do you, when you say he's underrated, do you think he's a top 20 player all time? Do you think he's a top 15 player all time?
He has him 15 to 20.
And I don't think he's that good.
I don't think so. And let me add this, I guess, to the chat so we can continue from last episode. So let me redo my shooting guard. You're right. I forgot. You're absolutely right, Chad. I forgot one. It's Jordan. It's Kobe. It's Curry. Because Curry's a shooting guard. And then you got Wade after him, but still top five. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You're right. I didn't say Curry's name, and I should have because he's a shooting guard.
Yeah, right. We did cover that over the last.
We did. So yeah, I should.
Combo guard. He's a combo guard. Well, I do want to. We probably should move on to 1v1. 1v1.
Oh yeah.
If you have those, I did want to. Somebody in the last video.
Do we have our wild card? Because I have the matchups.
Yes, actually, they went to the YouTube video. So you guys in the chat, always, like, if you don't watch this live, just head over there and leave us comments. That way we can kind of see what you're looking forward to or any ideas you have. So we had one, and I'm going to give you the options, and then I'll let you guys pick. So we have James Harden versus Tracy McGrady. We have CP3 versus Drew Holiday, which is an interesting one. Luka versus Larry Bird. And then Kawhi versus Scottie Pippen, which we already had Kawhi, didn't we? Or was
I think we agreed on Kawhi, but I'm putting the list together, so I'll let you pick the wild card. You get the golden ticket.
I like that Luka Bird matchup. I do like that Luka Bird matchup. And I think that Bird would dominate him. And you know why I think that Bird would dominate
let's
him?
Let's save it. Let's and, save it.
And you know why I think that Bird dominates him? I am going to save that. You want me to save that? I can save that, or I can go to it.
Let's start with the wild card. Let's just start with it. Okay, Luka. So let me just recap the matchups. Let me recap the matchups. So we've got Michael Jordan versus Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant versus Dominique Wilkins. Kevin Durant versus LeBron James. This is the best. This is the best round. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant versus LeBron James and Larry Bird versus Luka Doncic. Oof. So let's start with the wild card. Luka Bird.
I think Bird dominates him. And the reason why I think Bird dominates him simply because of upstairs. I watch Luka, and every time Luka is going to the basket, he cannot handle contact. Every time he goes to the basket, every time he has the basketball, he's getting touched, he's looking at the official. Every time, I think Bird gets in his ear. I think Bird calls him soft. I think Bird talks him into tough shots. I think Bird talks him into bad shots. Next thing you know, Bird is scoring on him and letting him know about it. You didn't like that shot? Well, how about this one right here in your face? Meanwhile, Bird is getting physical with him. Not only is Bird getting physical with him, Bird is in his ear. And there is no official to save you, sir. There is no official to bail you out. It's just you and me. I think Bird dominates him 11-5.
So here's the thing. We got two guys that will be compared a lot because of their skill set, because of their skin tone, because of their body type. They're going to be compared a lot, but their game especially. So the one thing I love about Luka is how, you know, his passing. I think that's great. Well, you can eliminate that. Get it out of here, right? You're only talking about so who's the better one-on-one player? Like, who has better ball handling skills? Who's a better shooter? Who's a better mid-range? Who's a better post-up player? Who's the better defender? We've seen the best of Bird. So I'm using the absolute best of Bird, the back-to-back-to-back?
Yes, sir.
MVP, who probably should have went back-to-back-to-back-to-back MVP versus a guy who, look, I think, I'm not saying, I've said this before, I don't think he's going to take any leaps because I think we're seeing, but we haven't really seen his prime years yet. So I'm taking kind of soft, doughy, I wish he would hit the gym, Luka, versus mental assassin, right? Who will, you know, again, he will elbow him in the gut, say, I'm going to the high post and I'm going to shoot a jumper on you and then go and do it, right? Who's got the better left hand? Because that's going to come into effect. Well, Bird dropped 40 with his left. Bird dropped. Can I just
47 to be exact. 47.
Yeah, I don't think people appreciate that Bird dropped 47 points with his left hand. Mm-hmm. I challenge any other. In a time when, remember people keep saying the 80s, they didn't have a left hand. Bird did. So I think Luka, look, Luka's a good shooter, but I think he's what, 33% from three, right? So he's good, but he's actually below NBA average.
Yeah.
So I think it's closer than that. I think it's maybe 11-7 or 21-17, depending on what we're playing to. But yeah, I think the mental aspect of it, and look, Bird was six. People keep saying Bird was 6'9". I'm pretty sure he was 6'10". Right. And most of us remember him like we see, like, let's be honest. The younger people will say, oh, I saw the Dream Team stuff. And, you know, he's got, you know, he's laying on his stomach because he was playing with a broken back. Right. Like Magic, you know, I just watched the They Call Me Magic and Magic Johnson was reminiscing about the Dream Team. And he says, I called up. I said, look, I'm not playing unless Larry and Michael are playing. And so they said, well, and so David Stern said, well, call him. So he said, I called up Bird. Bird's like, I can't play. Like, my back is out. He goes, look, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to play defense. You don't have to rebound. He goes, just stand there. And if you're open, I'm going to pass you the ball. Can you still knock down a shot? And Bird's like, yeah, I can still knock down a shot. That's all you got to do. That's how bad he was physically. Don't do that. Go back 5 years and watch Larry Bird, you know, like not looking and throwing, you know, these kinds of passes behind his back and shooting a fadeaway from behind the backboard. That's the Larry Bird that I'm talking about. Luka's not there yet. Ask me again in 5 years who wins this one-on-one matchup. I might have a different answer. Mm-hmm. But today, based on what I've seen from Luka versus what I know of Bird at his best, yeah, Bird wins this one. Bird wins this one. I think it's closer than you think, but I think Bird
Luka's still so young.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think it's close to tone. Like I just told you, I watched Doc punch Bird in the face. Doc is the most mild-mannered guy in the history of superstars, not in pro basketball, but in sports. He punched Larry Bird in the face. I don't know what Bird said to him to make Doc punch him in the face. So I can only imagine what a prime Bird would say to a kid Luka to completely throw him off of his game. I'm not trying to hear none of this logic.
I like Luka. When Luka gets mad, I actually like mad Luka better than happy Luka. I like mad Luka. Oh, you want? Do you want me to? Do you have it? I'll let you. Do you want me? I was gonna say, do you have a take on this, Haley? Or because I got I have the next one ready. Because the next one.
Oh, I agree with both of you. I think that Bird is better, but again, Luka's, he's just starting out. He's only more than a couple, but he's just getting started in the league, and he has so much more to prove. Although, like you said earlier, he might have reached his ceiling, but I think he's gonna learn those things that are gonna help his game, like his assists and his pass, and just his IQ is gonna continue to grow. And I think that's what's gonna get him closer to Larry Bird. But no, he's not there yet, not and he does need to toughen up a little bit. He's sensitive, but he'll grow.
You think he's sensitive?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes,
he's so sensitive. He does get mad, and I'm starting to learn. I like when he gets mad a little bit, but he's always like you said, Jay. He's always looking at the refs already. Like before he even hits his shot, he's like,
"Name me. Hold on. Name me a player. Okay. Name me a player. That's this. No, I'm not gonna make this. I'm gonna make it generational. That's every player right now.
Not Steph.
Steph doesn't look at the refs. You want me to make your mixtape?
No, please. But he gets up
and he keeps playing.
I remember 2 games ago him laying on the ground after a no call. And
you mean when he was pushed out of bounds, Tony, after cracking the three? Out of bounds is a difference.
And his coach had to pick him up and say, go play defense.
Right, because he was pushed out of bounds.
Yeah, he should have gotten a foul, but they never gave it to him. So he looked at them, got up, and kept playing. And he always does that. So he's
like, and that's not going on. And that's not going on every trip, by the way, like it is with Luka.
Yes.
It's going on every trip with him.
You're treating Luka like he's Embiid. One. He's not that bad.
No, Embiid's not close to that.
I'll say this. Over this playoffs, I think that Luka really did clean up that attitude. I think he did get up and he played more so than I've ever seen him before until that final series with us. Then he kind of picked that habit up again because I think he felt things were slipping through his fingers, and that's his natural response. So but I get it, it's fine, it is a generational thing. But for now, I think we can all agree Bird over Luka for now.
And for the record, the guy who threw his mouthpiece Kevin Durant, the Slim Reaper against your guy LeBron James, the king, the chosen one.
I think Kevin Durant does a lot on the perimeter. His ability to get open, his ability to create space is almost unmatched, to be honest with you. His ability to hop over the top of you and just knock down the perimeter shot and to get to the basket, how long he is and his combinations and knocking down fallaways. I think James overpowers him because James does those things too. James can hop over the top of you. James can knock down 15, 20 footers and hit fallaway shots. Now he might not be able to do it in the fashion that Kevin Durant does it, but he can also do that. But the difference here is I think James would overpower him, and I think James would constantly take him to the basket, and I think James would wear him down. I think it's a close game, but I think James wears him down.
So let me start by saying, as basketball players, I think James and people are going to fight me on this one, but I think LeBron James is a better scorer than Kevin Durant.
I do too.
I think James is a better defender than Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. I think that he's clearly bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic. Like, he literally has all the things you look for in a basketball player. That's why he's one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. And that's not debatable. I feel like some people tried to debate that. I think I saw a list where he was like 9. He ain't 9. Okay, he's one of the greatest of all time. However, and so JD, get the poll ready for the chat here, because we're going to need one. Kevin Durant does everything that you want in a one-on-one matchup mm-hmm. better than LeBron James does. So he's a better ball handler than LeBron James. He is a better three-point shooter than LeBron James. He is a better mid-range.
Not by a lot.
He is a better. I did say what the gap was. I said he's better.
Okay.
He's a better three-point shooter than James. He's a better mid-range shooter than James. He's not a better finisher at the rim than James. So that will be the one thing where. But James in a half-court one-on-one game, will James be able to build up, like? What I like about James's game is when he builds up momentum, he's like a locomotive coming at you, and you're not getting in the way of that. You're not going to stop it. He's not going to be able to like do that in a half court game.
Why not, Tom? We're not playing from free throw line to the bucket. We're not playing from the 3-point line. Right.
I don't think he gets, he can't do it on the run. I don't think he'll have enough opportunities to do that. So because what does James do again? He's going to miss some of those threes. He's going to turn the ball over because that's what he does. And he's not great in the post. Like you say, overpower him. He's not great in the post. He's gotten better. Durant. But again, which year we're talking about. So I just think Kevin Durant has the ability to shoot over him, to shoot in the mid-range, and I think it's 11-10. It might go into overtime. And Kevin Durant squeaks out just because when all else fails, I feel like Durant could just be like, take a break, right? Mm-hmm. Keep the distance from the butt and just shoot. And that will be his, you know, whereas if he can somehow find a way, because he's skinny, but if he can find a way to keep James from driving on him, I think that's his what he'll have to do. So just so that we can get the chat involved, I'm going to go with Kevin Durant. Let's see what the chat, we've got 11 votes in so far. We got 14 votes in and it's 50-50. So while it's at 50-50, we've made our cases. Haley, make your pick and make your case. See if it sways the chat.
This argument. I remember making a video probably like 6 months ago. And the one, everybody at the end, I did say LeBron, obviously. Like, to me, I think he's the best player I've ever seen. So, but when it came to shot making and shot ability, that's such a difficult argument because it's definitely split. But I did say LeBron, and I got so much heat for saying LeBron. Everybody else was like, no, it's Katie. So I'm going to say LeBron. Maybe I'm biased, but I think, yes. And it came down to the clutch, too. Everybody's like, oh, well, who's more clutch, LeBron or Katie? And statistically, you guys might know more than I do, but I don't see much of a
disparity when we're talking about Shaq creation and separation, because we're not talking about James today. We're talking about James in 2013. We're talking about James in 2012. We're talking about that guy. Just like we're talking about Kevin Durant when he was averaging 32 a game. We're talking about that guy. So the separation isn't that much. I think the disparity is James being able to get downhill and basically just wearing Kevin Durant out.
I'm almost using the same logic why I picked Bird over Luka, because you know when I say I think James is a better scorer, James is a better all around player, all that kind of stuff. I'm saying it in the construct of a 5-on-5 basketball game.
Right.
1-on-1 is very, very different, right? Like you can be a great player and stink at 1-on-1, and I've seen players who are average and they're amazing. Like, okay, here's an example. If I remember correctly. Didn't Michael Beasley just have his way with LeBron James 1-on-1? Like LeBron could never beat him. Is that, am I remembering that story correct? If you're comparing Beasley to LeBron in terms of a 5-on-5, it's not even a conversation,
right?
But on 1-on-1, he can beat him. So that's why I'm saying I'm trying to take that team concept out and just say, okay, if these guys are just matching up, who's going to, I know when I played 1-on-1, when I got in trouble, what did I do? I'd be like, check it, shot. Like I'd shoot before you even had a second, right? And that was the only way I could win. I was not a good 1-on-1 player. Jay was a very good 1-on-1 player, right? So it's just different things. So that's why you know, I can say both things, even though they sound contradictory, that I got James being better at everything, but I think in a 1-on-1 setting, I'm going to go with Dre. Because I think James is going to do to pull up and shoot. And he's just gonna miss. It will happen at some point. So this has nothing to do with like clutch gene and all that other, you know, that none of that matters. I'm just looking at it like, yeah, I think if I were to watch that game, it's still 50-50, by the way. So you know what, JD, we need your we need to go to the double overtime. The chat is 50-50. We're locked in. JD, if you're even awake, Who you got? We need to hear from you. Oh, wait. Oh, LeBron. Oh, no. Jared, there it is. Player's choice. He's got...
He tied it up.
So
that's how close the argument is.
So we got... So on our panel, we have two KDs, two LeBrons, But the vote, one vote came in. I don't know where it came from at the last minute because it was 50-50. We had 23 votes. It was 11-11. And someone, the 23rd vote, the Michael Jordan vote, or maybe I guess the LeBron vote, because it was for LeBron James. LeBron James wins 52-47, 12 votes to 11. Yeah. It is that close. It is that close. So I got to go with the chat. You guys are wrong again, but okay. All right. So we got LeBron. We got LeBron. All right. Mm-hmm. I might have to take myself out of this conversation because I might get too emotional. But the next matchup is Kobe Bryant versus Dominique Wilkins.
Dominique Wilkins was a great transition player, right? Excellent. Dominique Wilkins was a very good shot creator. But Kobe, when he got older, he actually enhanced his quote-unquote bag, right? He put that 15-foot fall away in his game. He put his footwork got better. So he put that box work in his game. And he would have just been throwing so many different things at Dominique Wilkins. And he's bigger than those other guys. He's bigger than Iverson. He's bigger than Kyrie Irving. So his handles, his ability to create separation. Now, those two basically had the same amount of efficiency where, you know, Kobe was around 46. Dominique was at 45. Dominique took different shots, but Kobe had a different bag. And I think that Kobe would have outlasted Dominique. I don't think he mops Dominique, but I think that he outlasts Dominique. I think he looks at Dominique and studies his game. Okay, this dude likes to go left maybe one time, but he wants to go right. He wants to take two dribbles and jump over the top of me, but he can't do that on me consistently. He's going to try to overpower me, but I can fight back because I've gotten stronger. And I think that he can put other – Kobe's put other things in his game where he could just outlast Dominique.
Dominique's been very lucky. I think he's had the advantage of size in both of his first two rounds, right? Against, like you said, he had Irving in round one, Iverson in round two. Mm-hmm. So he got luck. This ain't that. You got a guy who's going to take the contact, no problem. Mm-hmm. Who, as far as athleticism, can match you toe to toe. Kobe, listen, I've talked to, I want to say, I'm trying to think of the number in my head. I'm counting the names. It's six, maybe seven people who've played Kobe one-on-one. And every one of them said what you actually said. We played a couple of games. The first one, I was close. It was like 11-7. It was 11-6. It was 11-9. Game two, 11-1. 11-1. I'm thinking of the scores and every single one. And I was like, why? And he's like, because Kobe watched you the first game. So Kobe now is in round three. So he's watched Wilkins against those other two guys. Mm-hmm. And he saw what he does. And the second he knows what you do, he's going to take it away from you. Mm-hmm. And so while I still think Dominique is an underrated shooter, I keep saying this every single round. And I think he will he'll score and he'll give Kobe won't easily just blow by him. He will give Kobe a battle. He's in the Elite Eight for a reason. Mm-hmm. Kobe, you know, I know you hate the term bag, but his bag is deep, right? Mm-hmm. He will shoot on him. He will drive on him. He will post him up. He will fade away. And his defense, when he gets that ugly, with his bottom teeth stick out further than his top teeth, he's going to go all Mamba on him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see how Wilkins beats him.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't a Kobe guy, right, I got Kobe in this one. I had no favoritism in that one. I think Kobe in that one. Did you see enough of Dominique?
No, remember, that's why I have to spend a day just going over highlights, learning his game. But I agree. I mean,
the chat's all Kobe, so I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah. That one seemed like a landslide.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to take you back to 2000. I want to say 2003. There's this young kid playing at Syracuse, and my man was a bucket. Could just score. And Michael Jordan says, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting, there's been a lot of who's the next Jordan? Yeah, this is the next one. This is the next one. That's how high Carmelo Anthony was looked at as he was coming out of college. Because he didn't disappoint. He could score with the best of them. Mm-hmm. And he looked up to Mike, and Mike was his guy. And well, now he's got to play him one-on-one. Because now we got Michael Jordan versus Carmelo Anthony in a one-on-one matchup. Oh,
I think this thing is closer than you think, Tone.
I think it's close too. No, I think that's why. That's why I took a deep breath. I think it's actually close.
This thing is closer than you think, Tone. So when I look at Jordan, and I look at Jordan just from a competitive standpoint, Jordan's not trying to hit getting dominated. That's not happening. So what he's not going to do is he's going to make it really difficult on Carmelo Anthony. He knows that Carmelo, he knows that Anthony wants to get right to it. He knows that Carmelo Anthony's not going to give him a lot of extra crispy ball handling because he knows the defender that Jordan is. And he knows that he can't do a lot with the ball because he's looking for Jordan's looking for him to make a mistake. He'll capitalize on that. So he's got to get right to it. And that's to Jordan's advantage because that's where the competition from Jordan comes in. And that's where the competitive fire from Jordan comes in. I think that this is a game where Carmelo tries to use his size on Jordan. And I think that it benefits him a little bit, but I think that Jordan outlasts him with his athleticism. As good as an athlete as Carmelo is, I think that Jordan outlasts him with his athleticism, and I think that he just blows his doors off with his shot creation. I think he blows his doors off with that, and I think that when we get to the end, I think that Anthony runs out of gas.
Look, I'm not saying Jordan wipes the floor with him. I'm not. And so don't confuse it when I say it's not going to be, you know, I'm seeing 11-9, 11-10. No, it's not. No, it's not. Like Carmelo will make it competitive. Mm-hmm. Carmelo will put points up. Carmelo will contest, you know, Jordan's shots. But at the end of the day, one thing Carmelo does not do is defend. So we're talking about the greatest scorer of all time going up a guy who does not defend. I don't care how big he is. He's going up against a guy who doesn't defend. So Jordan's going to do whatever he wants. Like, and if we're saying LeBron can build up ahead of steam, well, then so can Jordan. You think if Jordan starts from the half court line, Carmelo's going to do anything but like, ole, and get dunked on? No, that's what's happening, dude. And if he ever gets in trouble, let's be honest. When Jordan gets the ball, he can. And I'll challenge anyone to say, just get the ball and like post up, fadeaway jumper. And he'll beat him. He can hit 11 of those straight. He can do that.
Yeah.
So while I'm not saying it's 11-5, I'm not saying it's 11-2. It's like 11-6. It's 11-7. But it'll feel like it was 11-9. But it's at the end, you'll be like, oh, wow, how did Jordan score that many that fast? Like, that's how it's going to – you'll be like, oh, I didn't – if it's 21, whatever, it's going to be like, oh, I didn't realize. I thought it was closer. You know, maybe it's 11-6. Maybe that's my number. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go 11-6.
The reason why you're saying that, Tone, is because it would – at some point, it would be something like 7-2. And then it'll go from 7-2 to like 9-4 and then 11-6.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so – and I just think you know Jordan. Jordan is – look, don't confuse this with, you know, businessman pays $1 million and beats Jordan 3-2 in a one-on-one at a camp because he donated $1 million. Listen, Jordan probably had some gambling debts he needed to pay off. I didn't say that. Okay, but here's the thing, right? We're talking about, you know, I don't know what the situation is. It's that maybe that Bleacher Report portal where they bring them in together, which, by the way, if I could take a minute – I got a real beef with Bleacher Report and those portals because I don't think I've seen one older generation player win ever. Give me a break. But anyways, let's move on. I think Melo is really, really good. He's really good offensively. But man, like, would anybody on this list take this tournament more serious than Michael Jordan?
Nobody. Him and Brian, probably. Brian and James.
Yeah, those three. Yeah. So who's going to, like, you know, and listen, we talked about Bird talking trash. You don't think Jordan's going to be talking trash when he looks at Carmelo and sees that he's wearing Jordan brand apparel?
Yeah.
He'd be like, take that off. Like he said to Kobe, he's like, listen, you can wear my shoes, but you can't fill them. Like, he's going to have stuff like that. And there's no fouls. So guess what? He might get punched in the face. I love the matchup. I think it'll feel closer. But I've got Jordan in a – not in an easy one. Like, again, you'll see the point differential and think it was easy. Like, if you just go back and look at stats, you'll be like, oh, Jordan mopped him. No. He beats him by 5, but it was close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so that sets up – I don't know if you wrote these down. I think I have them here. So that sets up our last round. So big announcement, by the way, as we close the show. we're all very tired. I don't know if you can see the bags under my eyes. It's 5 o'clock in the morning for Haley. She got up at 3 just to do her hair. She came straight from the club, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
And and so for everybody watching on the chat, for everyone who's going to come like and watch this after, and we should probably clip this, so make note, JD. We're going to move. Starting next week, we're going prime time, baby, like Deion Sanders, 9 p.m. Eastern instead of a.m. Instead of waking up with Fluent and Chill, you can, have a late night with Fluent and Chill, have a drink with Fluent and Chill, go to bed with Fluent and Chill. It's probably dangerous. But we're going 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to post it everywhere so you don't forget. I think it's a little bit better. I'm exhausted. I was, I told you when we were starting the show, it was 1 o'clock in the morning before I was like done with between PC Gridiron and then Richard Jefferson on TikTok Live. I was just like, I'm pooped. My man's eating French fries and drinking white wine. And I'm here like, because I was sitting here, I had my head on my mic. I was like, anyways, okay. So here's what we got for that. So next week, when we move to that prime time, we have the final four. We got Jordan versus Bird, Kobe versus LeBron. To steal a line from Future from 8 Mile, we don't know what's gonna happen. Yes, but that's next week. Haley, any parting shots?
Nope, just game one tonight. We'll definitely.
Who you got in game one? I know who you have for the series. Who do you have for game one?
Dubs. It has to be Dubs. If it's not Dubs, I'm nervous. I'll tell you that. Like, it has to be Dubs.
Jay, who you got for game one?
I think the Dubs handle them. I think they handle Boston tonight.
The Boston Celtics win game one by 5 tonight. We'll talk about it next time. But until then, Jay.
Take it light, but take it.
Yes, it's the only thing we understand. I'ma stand till on jersey in the stands. I'ma hit you on a slide. I don't never slip.